Hello and welcome to Word of the Bay Podcast. I am Kyle. What's up, guys? It's just me. Just me this week. And I'm going to keep the energy high. That's my promise to you. I'm not going to be sad and mopey, even though I have every reason to be. We're gonna keep it light and fluffy, like a nice whipped cream, or maybe a nice risotto, or maybe a nice. But seriously, I got a lot of things to talk about, and the first and foremost is going to be Jameis Winston, not going to bear the lead. What we knew happened. Was going to happen, happened. Jesus, learn to talk, Kyle. But Jameis Winston was suspended officially for 3 games by the National Football League, and he came out with a statement, and I thought it was very interesting, and maybe we're going to piss a couple of people off by dissecting it, but he had some interesting things to say. Before this, it was a little strange because you had this narrative going around of like, okay, well, he's going to be suspended for failure to report, like that he failed to report the incident, which is a fucking, there's a big reason why people wanted that to be the case. And that's the reason why the Jameis camp kind of leaked that to a FSU friendly reporter on Wednesday night, because they wanted the story to be that it wasn't about him being an asshole or his misconduct. No, it was about him reporting something. Oh, well, he didn't do anything wrong. He just didn't report in a timely fashion. I mean, hey, you know, we do it all the time, right? I mean, I forget I had a doctor's appointment last week. Like, oh, shit, people forget shit all the time. No, that's not at all what the fuck it was. 100% what it was, like I said last week, like I'm saying this week, and like we know right now, it's because of his conduct. He violated the code of conduct, and that's why he's suspended. So I don't want to fucking hear that you know some source that said, well, it's because he failed to report. Fuck you. It's not because he failed to report. It's because he acted like an asshole that night, and he admitted to it. Okay, he denied it. He still denies it, but he did admit to being drunk and not remembering quite what happened. You can go look at their fucking reports. It's been reported. So I don't want to hear it, man. If his story, like when it first came out, it was like flat out denial. Like, well, I never did it. And then when we learned that, well, maybe he was in a different Uber. Oh, but he was definitely in another Uber. And the third driver confirms that, or not the third driver, but the third person there that night confirms that. Suddenly it's like, well, Jameis, might have been lying. And he comes out and says, yeah, he essentially acted inappropriately that night, and he's swearing off alcohol, and people want to still say that doesn't mean anything, but it's like, okay, you know, I'm a fat motherfucker, but in an unrelated note, I'm going to swear off Twinkies. I'm not eating any more Twinkies anymore. That's it. No more ho-hos, no more deep fried, sushi rolls, no more cream cheese. That's it. I'm done with the fat food. That being said, in an unrelated note, I am a fat fuck, and, you know, I do need to lose some weight. I do need to make some big changes in my life, but completely unrelated, I'm swearing off all pizza. All pizza's gone. No more pizza ice cream. No more anything. I'm going all vegan, but, you know, it's totally unrelated. Get the fuck out of here with that. So this is the thing. I'm very disappointed for a couple of reasons. Number one, because I never liked the guy. I didn't before the draft. I didn't after the draft, and never have. So this is just one more. This is just one more thing that you can lump up on the mountain of disappointment that I've had for Jameis thus far. The other thing is that he's at a crossroads now. He's essentially the same. Booker McFarland said it on Twitter. He's at a crossroad. He's the same as Josh Freeman. He's done nothing more or less than Josh Freeman. He's got the most passing yards. Fuck you. He's got the most passing yards for any quarterback under 24. I don't give a fuck. You know those stats are for fucking losers. Same thing as team stats when they're like, he just broke the team record for receptions. No one fucking cares. Did he break the NFL record? No. So then I don't give a fuck. That's what that means. It means fucking dick. It means nothing. It means fuck all. Okay. Whatever he's done before the age of 24, great, awesome. Okay, cool. Cadillac Williams also rushed for, you know, the most yards of a rookie in the first three seasons. Look where that got us. Nowhere. It got us a playoff game in 2005 that we lost because Edel Shepherd doesn't know how to bring in a fucking touchdown pass. That's where it got us. I don't want to hear it. Right now, Jameis is no better than Josh Freeman, in my book, certainly. And it's really, really disappointing. So at this point, it's. I don't like Jameis the person. The player remains to be seen. But I'm not. That's not to say that I value sports over everything else. I root for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I root for a lot of teams. And there's a lot of things that a lot of teams do wrong. There's a lot of things that I don't agree with. All of sports inherently, where they ask for your tax money to pay for their stadiums, and they look the other way for these gross sexual misconduct things, just because, well, sports, it's sports. I hate it, but I love it. I love competition. I love watching this happen every Sunday or every day on the baseball field. It's a reason to get together with your friends. It's a reason to cheer for something and come together as a community. So I love sports. I just hate some of the things that are involved with it. So when I say that I'm a fan of the front of the front of the jersey and not the back, I mean, what I'm not saying is that I condone sexual misconduct, but what I am saying is that I'm a Buccaneers fan. And it also pisses me off that we're going to start behind the eight ball this year, playing three of the toughest games on the schedule without our starting quarterback, which would have already been a pretty challenging thing. But now that he's out, it's even more challenging with Ryan Fitzpatrick taking over the reins. But here we are. Here we are. The team on paper you think is going to be a lot better, right? You have the defensive line that's been upgraded this year with Bo Allen and Jason Pierre-Paul and the other guy, Apple, whatever his name is. But you got to think that this team is a lot better, and it is a team game. And if we can somehow win maybe the first game against the Saints, like if we can win that game, and I think if we win one out of the three games, whatever is left out of that is icing on the cake. Okay, I think win one of those, then I'll be happy. Then Jameis comes back, and hopefully he does well. He did well at the end of last year, and I think that he certainly got it in him to do well. And this is the other thing too. As much as I just shit on Jameis, the other thing too is that he has legitimately tried to turn it around. I think he does understand how he's acted in the past, and because this whole Uber thing, this happened in his rookie year. And since then, he's had his foundations, and he's everybody talks about how good he's doing. So great, fine. You know, I do think he is trying to turn it around. I will give him that. And he's been an absolute saint, save for his rookie year that I know of. I mean, on the field, he still sort of acts like a man child with his eating W's and pushing over dudes on the sideline just to go argue a call and poking Marcus Lattimore in the back of the head, like that kind of bullshit. That's still prevalent, but his wife to be is pregnant. He's getting married. He's got a little house. He is trying to kind of settle it down. So, you know, good for him. If he can come back, have a great year, and take us to a winning record. I think 10 wins and Cutter saves his job. Jameis gets his big contract, and everything is sunshine and lollipops in the Tampa Bay area. And I think maybe even 9 wins. Maybe you can make the case. But if it's 8-8 or below, I think you're going to see Dirk Cutter and Jason Light would probably be shown the door. Lest like our draft class this year do so well that it's like, well, we'll keep Light, we'll get rid of Dirk Cutter, and then we'll bring somebody else in. But then that's always a weird thing because you kind of have that weird dynamic of like, this is not the GM that I don't know. Hey, tell you what there, man. That GM, he's no good. He's like an old potato, man. You can leave him in the dark for too long. Suddenly he starts stinking. You don't know what the hell's going on. You open the cabinet. Boom, you got a bad potato. You got to get him out of there, man. We're gonna get this guy out of here and hire Bruce Allen. Love that guy, man. Best guy in the league. Here's the other thing, too. And I don't know if you guys have seen this yet this year, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are taking away some of the practices available to fans. I believe like half of them. And then also, but like you can buy season tickets and get access to those practices, which to me is fucking mind-boggling. That's addition by subtraction is what you're trying to do. Why would you ever think that's a good idea to have less people have eyes on your team? Like, let's make it so less people can watch the team. It seems so insane to me. Like, you can go up to Port Charlotte and you can watch the Rays do their little practices. Yes, it costs money to get into a spring training game, but it's a professional competition. It costs money to get into a preseason game, but you can go watch the Rays work out as much as you fucking want. To say that you need to buy season tickets to go into the practice field to watch the Bucks play for all of what 45 minutes, they make so many awful decisions, right? Let's just like the Red Initiative with women. We're like, hey, we're gonna teach women football, ladies. Hey, ladies, this is what an I formation is. Okay, it's real simple. The fullback lines up behind the quarterback. The running back lines up behind the fullback. You got the tight end on either side. It's fine. It's an I formation, okay? It looks like an I. Like, it feels like it's kind of ridiculous. And they took a lot of flack for it. I mean, so rightfully so. I feel like they're so tone deaf, honestly. For as bad as like the Rays PR team is for making the team invisible, the Buccaneers just kind of seem to continually shoot themselves in the foot with like, let's have less people watch our free practices. How about that? Like, that's probably a good idea. But here, the incentive is if you want to watch them, you can pay you can be a season ticket holder. How about if you want to be a fucking season ticket holder, you win football games. Don't fucking dangle practice sessions over my head for me to buy tickets. How about you win a fucking game? How about you make the fucking playoffs, you idiots? Like, don't tell me that the value of watching them run around in their underwear is going to bring me into the stadium. You know what's going to bring me into the fucking stadium? It's wins. Woo. I'm mad at the Bucks today. Got to calm it down, guys. I'm going to calm it down. Ryan Jensen is playing offensive line for us, right? He's doing a lot of cool things. You know, we got competition at the kicker position. We got a revamped offensive line. We got Rojo out there running the ball for us. And if he doesn't work out, you know what? Fuck it. You know, we'll bring in Jaquizz Rodgers. Why not? Let's bring in some more Falcons castaways. I don't know what I think. What I think is I want to move away from the Buccaneers at this point because they make me too angry. And look, I'm trying to keep the energy at a certain level. Let's be positive, right? Let's be in a positive society. Let's talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning and John Tavares specifically from the New York Islanders and why the fuck are we going after him? Weren't we just trying to think about how we're going to keep Kucherov, and now suddenly we want John Tavares on our team? Steve, I trust the Iser plan, right? Like, let's just assume that he's got a plan. He's gonna get John Tavares, and he's gonna get Nikita Kucherov, both on long term deals. So just give me Nikita Kucherov a good contract, and fine, you can offer John Tavares whatever the fuck you want. But I mean, see, the other thing too is like this comes out after we signed JT Miller to a 5-year, 26.2 million dollar deal, which I think that's a good move because he was one of the top scorers for us at the end of the season, and certainly in the playoffs. I think he had 13 points in the playoffs. He does well, and he certainly does well on that first line. I wonder if Yzerman is just like, you know what? Fuck it, man. We've been to so many Eastern Conference Finals. We got a little bit cap space left. We got some time before this young core is broken up. I wonder if his pitch to Tavares, like he went in yesterday because the Lightning and a few other teams went in and made a pitch to JT Miller. I wonder if Steve Yzerman didn't go in there and say, listen, our cap situation is this. We've got to resign a lot of dudes in the next 2 years. We've got to resign Kucherov. We've got to get Vasi under a long-term contract. Ryan McDonough is a big decision to make. Are we going to keep him around? What if he goes in there and says, listen, do you want to win a cup? Sign a 2-year deal with us. Play with us and try to get that cup. Maybe two. Maybe even two. Because this team is going to blow up in a couple years. But you could win a cup with this team. He's got everybody. Everybody's good to go this year for the most part. I mean, we made offers to, like, I think Slater Cuckoo, and we obviously we signed TJ Miller. But you know, the big pieces are in place for this year. So I wonder if he just goes up to JT and says, "Listen, I'll sign you to a 2-year deal. We'll just eat up all the cap space and say, fuck it, let's go for it. And if it doesn't work out this year, maybe we'll trade you over to somewhere where you want to go, if you love hockey, you're probably yelling at and screaming like, how you fucking idiot? This isn't you know, EA NHL 2019. Like, fucking get your shit together. But does it really sound that crazy? Wouldn't it be so worth it? Listen, let's just sign JT Miller now. Let's give Ryan McDonough a bridge deal. Boom. You just max out the fucking cap space and let's play the game with this team. I think you would be okay with that, would you not? Of course you would be. Especially if it means that let's say that they win the next two cups. That would absolutely be worth it regardless of who we lose. Now, okay, like we lose them and then people are talking about, well, Dynasty could have been high. But it's like, two cups in a row would be pretty outstanding. And I'm not saying that's what JT Miller is going to do for us, but I'm thinking wouldn't it be worth it to just push all the chips in the middle? I mean, that's what sometimes that's what it takes. That's what it took for the Glazers to win a Super Bowl. They pushed all the fucking chips in the middle. They rolled the dice between a 5-year setback and John Gruden winning us a Super Bowl, and he won us a Super Bowl, and it was all worth it. And it did set us back 5 years anyways. Like, we had some fucking terrible drafts. Not only – we're not talking about the Bucks, Kyle. We're not talking about the Bucks. We're going to be nice and calm and cool. Collective, we're talking about the Lightning. Talk about the Lightning won 2 Stanley Cups with JT Miller. Or not JT Miller, but with John Tavares. Did I just say JT Miller for all that time? Signing John Tavares to the Lightning would it would be ridiculous. But then I feel like people would like accuse us of being like the Golden State Warriors and talking all kinds of shit about how we're like piling on, making this kind of crazy team. The prospect camp started up, right? Or developmental camp, and we just had our draft, which obviously we didn't have a first round pick because of the Miller and McDonough trade, but we did have some second round picks, and apparently Yzerman took some speedy guys. I do not know. Do not know what was going on, but I hope he made the right decisions there. Hope you made the right decisions there, Yzerman. Hey, tell you what, man. That's Steve Yzerman. He reminds me of Steve Yzerman, man. I'm going to put some ice in my fridge this weekend, make some margaritas, maybe a little salt on the rims. That Iserman guy, he's pretty salty when he's in there with doing those meetings with I don't know what I'm doing anymore. It's stroked out. Coach for the Raiders somehow. Where'd my life go? That's all I had on the Lightning. Let's talk about these Tampa Bay Rays. And joining me now is a good friend of mine on Twitter. He's been on the show before. He goes by the Twitter handle of LBushman07, and you can hear him on the Sports Arena podcast. L. Bushman, welcome, sir.
What's up, man? Good to be back on the show. It's been a while.
Is it like Matt? Is it your first name Matt, or like do not give away your first name? Like, I feel like I know your first name.
The first name is Evan. So it was funny because the way the whole L. Bushman thing was, I was on Twitter one day, or not Twitter, but Facebook, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to be just kind of funny and just put my name in something else. And then people started calling me that. I'm like, okay, I guess this is my nickname now. So
I like that.
I guess
though.
It kind of stuck.
It is like kind of a frat boy nickname, but I like that. Like, it works. I want to be known as L something. Like, that's a great name. Like, we used to have, like, our little group of friends, we used to call ourselves El Grupo, and I was like, that's, like, I always loved, like, the L something. Maybe maybe it's the 1% Cuban in me. I lied. There's 0% Cuban in me. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I was trying to think of something, like, instead of, because my last name is Bush, and I was like, well, L.
Oh, that's, dude, that's nice. I like that.
I was like, you know, L. I was like, I'll just keep it. I'll put my last name and put L. Bushman. I was like, all right, L. Bushman. We'll stick to that.
I listen to Drew Garabo on the radio a lot, and I heard you call him one day, and, like, you go by that name, and I was like, I know that guy.
I was, it was funny. I called that his show one day, and John Sinning made me look like an idiot when it was coming to fantasy football. I was like, yeah, who should I start? You know, Drew Brees or Matthew Stafford?
That's
like,
right.
Come on, is that even a question, bro? I was like, dude, yeah, it is, man. Come on, bro.
I love that, but he's like doing a thing, like he's playing a character, not playing a character, but he's like,
yeah,
because like clearly he doesn't know anything about football. Like, I think he says that, but I think that's.
Thing was, like, I clearly made the right decision by not going by his advice, so I tweeted him back. I was like, thanks for the advice, which I did not take, bro.
Oh, God.
And now we're good buddies on Facebook.
Oh, that's good. That's good. He seems like a really nice guy. But, hey, we got to talk about the Rays. And holy shit, what a team. They're on a bit of a tear. They're on a 8-game home win streak. They've beaten some. See, one of the things about the Rays this year, it's that, okay, we play the bad teams well, and then we're terrible against the good teams. But on this little stretch, we've beaten the likes of we swept the Yankees, and then we sweep the Yankees, and then we sweep the Nationals, kind of, right? Would you call that a sweep? Yeah, I guess you'd call it a sweep, right?
Yeah, I guess you could call it a sweep. I mean, it's one and two games. I guess you can call that a sweep. Yeah.
I think you're splitting the series, essentially, but it's a home sweep. So,
yeah.
Those are two quality teams. The Yankees, obviously, are they still on top of the AL East? I believe they are, right?
They're still on top, I think, by maybe a game over the Red Sox. Can we really still call the Nationals a quality team? Because the way they've been playing this year, it hasn't been all too well. And Bryce Harper, what, batting .220? And they don't really have any pitching except for Scherzer. So,
well,
coming out of the NL, they are a quality team. But they sure didn't look like a quality team when they played us for those two games. So, I don't know.
I think you make a good point, but I think we faced a quality pitcher in Max Scherzer, and he shut us down. Like, let's be honest, he shut us the fuck down. But we scored enough and we played well enough to beat him. So that's great. They're not going to look at that game and be like, well, it was only one run. But hey, look, beat Max Scherzer. So there you go.
I was really happy about that. There's one guy on Twitter who goes, yeah, I'm saying Max Scherzer is going to pitch a perfect game tomorrow. And then everybody started attacking him on Twitter. It was so funny. Like, dude, your prediction was way off.
Oh, my God. Like, someone did that with the Yankees, too. I forget who it was. but he was like, Sonny Gray is going to get a no-hitter against the Tampa Bay Rays. And then the first pitch is taken.
I got to tell you this, man. There's no – There's so much satisfaction I get by seeing Yankees fans, because I went on Sunday. I'm for Sunday's game for when they did the sweep. And
oh yeah.
I get so much gratification, almost to sexual gratification, to when the Rays beat the Yankees, and then seeing Yankee fans. And yes, there were a lot of Yankees fans there. Walk out of the trot just kind of crying and whining, and just like, man, we got robbed out of that home run. Marty hit the speaker. It's like, you know what? It's home field advantage, bro.
Yep.
Deal with it.
Don't want to hear it. Nope. That is true, because the past weekend series against the Yankees, I don't think there was a single game that series that was under 25,000 fans. I think Friday was probably the lowest attendance, and it was 25 something.
27, I think.
27, yeah.
I think it was 27-29 on Saturday, and then on Sunday was like 27-28 around that. So it was an amazing crowd on Sunday. And the thing was, it was really cool because where me and my buddies were at, we're in the outfield area, and it was just tons and tons of Yankees fans, mostly wearing Aaron Judge, gear. So, when they started to go Yankees chant, it was, you can hear the drowning of the boos of Rays fans just drowning them out. So that's good. Hearing the Rays fans actually, participate and actually show up and just, even though it's mostly Yankees fans, but there are Rays fans there supporting the team. So having them boo out the Go Yankees chant was pretty cool.
I used to hate Yankee games, and now I rather enjoy them. Win or lose, it's I find Yankee fans to be tolerable. I honestly do, and I think it's because they're a little more savvy than Red Sox fans. They've kind of been there before, and yeah, they're jerks, but there's this air about them of like, we're the Yankees. We are the best team in baseball ever. We represent the brand that is Major League Baseball, and they sort of have that air about them. Do I like it? No, I don't really. But if I had my choice between Yankee fans and Red Sox fan, I'll take Yankee fan all day.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because I totally agree with you, because I think Yankees fans are, they're gracious when they lose, because we were around some Yankees fans and they were joking around with us and talking about Rays and Yankees baseball. When you're around Red Sox fans, you just want to punch them in the neck, because they're the most horrible people in the world. They're just intolerable people that just come. They have such bad attitudes. They think they're better than everybody. Every time the Red Sox comes, I want to go down the line, just punch every single one of them in the neck.
They always got something. They always got something to say. If you're beating them, they'll talk about the standings. Or if you beat them in the standings at the end of the game, they'll talk about, well, how many championships do you have? Like, it's, at least with the Yankees, they're going to come back at you with one thing: 27 rings, bro. And you're like, great, cool. Could take your 27 rings and you were alive for exactly four of them.
And it's like, yeah, you have 27 rings because you've been around for almost 100 years.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing people don't get about Tampa sports. It's like they talk about how many championships you have. Like, most people, most people that root for the Rays and the Lightning, they're older than the fucking team, okay? It's ridiculous. It's like you can't even hold them a candle to it. Yeah, and I realize that. It's fine. You can still quit high-roading with your stupid championships.
Well, and the thing is, that's the only argument they can go on. It's like, we have 27 championships. Like, if this team was around in the 1900s, yes, we could probably have 27 championships too. Right. So stop with the argument. That's all you got. You can't go with that argument.
You won the best out of three teams. Great. You did it. Championship. Hey, we're the champions. All right, cool.
You were in a league. You were in a league of like 10 teams. Great, good job, yay!
But we're not here to talk. We're here to talk about the Rays. I went on the last show, and when I listened back to it, I was like, oh god, Kyle, you're drunk, because I kept saying was like, hey dude, this young core of players. But seriously, again, this young core of players is something. God, I sound like a fucking idiot because I'm doing the same thing I did last show. But seriously, okay.
I got invited to be on a panel for ABC7, the local station here in Sarasota. And
nice.
I was on there with, it was pretty much pro-Yankees. The guy that's – one of the guys that's on the show with me as well, he's also a TV reporter for the same station. He's a pro-Yankee guy. The anchor was – he sounded like he was pro-Red Sox, pro-Yankees. And they had one guy from – I think it was 10:40 a.m. up in Tampa, who was on there too as well, and he didn't agree with me, saying, this team's going to be so bad, they're going to be last place, the young guys aren't going to do anything, all these trades are not going to work out. And I'm like, look, man, just like the 76ers do, you got to trust the process.
Yes.
Longoria had to go for a reason. Like, all these guys that they gave away, traded away, look at them, what they're doing throughout the season. There's only one guy that's done pretty well, and that's Corey Dickerson. And we all know what he did. And we all know what he can do in the second half. Like, he does well first half. Second half, he usually tanks. So, you know, I was not mad when it was time for all these guys to go. Yeah, it was surprising, and as a fan, it kind of eats at you because you kind of get attached to these guys. You know, they have their moments, but then you know it's time to go and make room for the new young guys that are coming up, the young core that we've all been kind of hearing about and waiting on, that, you know, now they're finally here. And they're showing that they're actually really good players and that they are the future of this team.
And the I think the difference between this young core and young cores of the past, or at least certainly let's just say the past young core of like Carl Crawford, B.J. Upton, Evan Longoria, like that core, and Akinyi Iwamura, even you could say. But I think the difference is that there's sort of – I think there's a little caveat to these guys that says, okay, listen, in a few years, these guys might be playing in Cigar City Stadium over in Ybor City, and suddenly –
I love that name.
We might be able to – right? Yes, me too. Suddenly we might be able to re-sign a few of these guys, maybe even – you know, maybe right. Keep them around. And I think that carrot is sort of being dangled in front of the fans a little bit of like, hey, look at what the future holds. And they might stay around for a long time if everything works out like it should.
Yeah, and I think a lot of fans don't realize that there's still a lot more guys to come up. Like, yeah, the Brendan McKay's who's been promoted. Like, he keeps getting promoted. That's a guy that, you know, they drafted first round for him because they see, a pitcher as well as a DH in this guy that could be, you know, a future heavy hitter and a future pitcher for the rotation. So, you know, I talk to my guys on my show. It's like, look, you gotta look at this. You know, things are coming next year. You've got the TV money that's kicking in next year. That's $50 million where you could go out and get free agents, or you can go pump it into a stadium. You know, there's so many things that, you know, the fans gripe about, but we don't know a lot of the bits and pieces. Yeah, you might say Stu Sternberg is going to pocket all the money for the TV money. Do you really think he's going to do that? I mean, it's a billion-dollar TV contract that they're going to get through the next how many years that they signed it for. So Rays fans have to be patient. And so far, this is like a preview of 2019, especially when the other guys come up as well. So when I found out Adames was coming up, I'm like, good, here we go. This is the start of Bauer's coming up and the other guys coming up too. So, you know, and what I've seen so far, it's exciting. And it's also like, you know what, this is a future that looks actually bright, like a team on the incline instead of the decline.
I don't know. I haven't read much about that TV money. Is it – so next year is like when it starts kicking in?
Yeah, it kicks in next year. I think the first payout of it is like $50 million.
Oh, nice.
So imagine, you know, your current, you know, payroll right now and then add $50 million. So, but you don't know what they're going to do with it. So you can add $50 million for TV money. Okay, so how much are they going to allocate towards, you know, contracts? How much are they going to allocate towards signing free agents? How much are they going to allocate towards the stadium? What, you know, what we don't really know what they're going to do, but it kicks in next year. Yeah.
Yeah. And you got to think, like, I always point to those TV ratings as like evidence of like, hey, dude, look, baseball can work here, and just look at these, look at how well we do in the local TV ratings. So,
right,
yeah, I think this is we're setting up for something here for sure.
Yeah, and it's funny because when you have a guy that, you know, that was supposedly a diehard Rays fan, season ticket holder, Dickey V. You know, early in the season, he was,
Dickie,
I'm done
V
with this
price.
Team. I'm done.
We're paying
I'm
by the way prices.
Season tickets. Screw them. They're horrible. And now, a couple days later, he's like, I was dead wrong. I was so wrong. So that's a good sign when you have guys that have, you know, said this team was going to be the worst team in the AL East, going to be the worst in the majors, and now they're like, you know what, we were wrong. This team is. You know, they're exciting to watch. I was really excited, you know, seeing them beat the Yankees, and they look great. They look like a complete team. They looked exciting to watch, actually. So,
Evan Longoria, who needs you? Brent Honeywell,
who needs you?
Take your Tommy John, put it up your ass. Anthony
well,
Panther, you can suck
on
my yam
bag. A fractured was he has a fractured finger now? Oh, really? Out for like 2 months or something like
man.
That?
Oh, man. I feel bad for him. I love Evan. So I wish him the best and speedy recovery. I hope they win a World Series this year. Like I even after all that bullshit that he said about the Tampa Bay area, I still have no hard feelings towards the guy. So get well soon, I guess.
I got to ask you. So, you know, I asked the vegan sports chick last night, you know, are the Rays going to be sellers? Are they going to be buyers at the trade deadline? So we have, you know, there's been three names that we have floating around. So we have Hetch, Ramos, and then Archer, who are maybe traded at the deadline. Which one of those three do you think are probably going to go? I say Hetch is going to go.
Oh, yeah. Hetch for sure. I mean, I feel bad for Hetch right now because he deserves more playing time than he's getting right now. And it's a tough situation because you got to have Willie Adames out there right now because he's Willie Adames is the future. And I think Danny Hatcheria knows that. So the guy he's got to go, and there's going to be a team that needs him because he's a quality shortstop, and he can do things with the bat. I think for sure he's gone at the trade deadline, which good. I mean, maybe we can get a little something for him. There's a team out there that's desperate.
He might go to the Dodgers, and you could probably get some prospects out of them. But I really hope they sign Ramos to an extension. I mean, we now actually have a catcher who can hit and is defensive savvy. They need to sign him to extension. I know he's older than – he's, what, almost 30 now? So, but this is a guy that could be – you know, could lead the team. He hits – I mean, he's hit two bombs over the weekend, you know, against the Yanks. So and against his former team, he had a home run. So it's like, you know, sign this guy to an extension. He's worth the money. You've got money coming in next year. Why look at something in the farm system where I don't think they have anything in the farm system right now when you guys have a guy that's, you know, a leader of the team, hits well, and he knows how to play a catcher?
I think that – well, I actually read recently that there's a young catcher coming up in the farm system, but I think you're right.
Is it Sufo? Is it Sufo or
– It might be, yeah. But I think
– Did he get busted for like a PED suspension or he got some kind of
– Who doesn't get busted for something these days?
Yeah, that's true.
At least he didn't rape somebody. That's what I'm saying. Okay, did he rape anybody? No, it's fine. He's cool. All right, did a little PEDs, whatever. Like, he's good. He's good in my book. I don't know. I don't know that we resigned Wilson Ramos. I think he knows his value, and I don't think he's gonna. It would be the smart thing, right? Because if you're trying to build this young core, then you need a guy like him that's the Wilson Ramos that was built to us. This
right.
Great hitter.
And what if they do deal him at the trade deadline? They could get a lot for him because the way he's hitting right now, the way he's playing. So, you know, if the right deal comes along, you know, if it looks good, pull the trigger. I would love to see him stay. I mean, he's a character. He wears that Buffalo hat with swagger. So, hopefully, he doesn't go. But I think the one guy a lot of people are talking about, Arch. You know, Archer. They need to. I mean, he's under team control in what 2022. He hasn't been pitching well this past year. Yeah. He's on the DL. I mean, you're not going to really get much for him.
I don't think his value is so diminished at this point. I don't know. Exactly like you said, I don't know what you get for him. I mean, you might just keep him because of the team control. Hope he does better next year and then trade him then.
Yeah, I would definitely keep him. I wouldn't put him on the trade block right now. The way things have been panning out for him, you're gonna get like a washer and dryer than maybe some broken down pitcher for him if you're trying to trade him.
Yeah. What was the other name you threw? Hetch, Archer, and then who else did you say?
Hetch, Archer, and Ramos.
Ramos. I don't know. Like Ramos makes a lot of sense to trade. I think you get a lot back for him at this point. But I'd love to keep that guy. He's just you don't see hitters like that anymore. It's like he can hit. He hits well. You know, he can hit opposite.
Especially from a catcher too.
Right. Like he's just a good hitter. Like this is like never mind. Like home runs, yeah, they're great. But just putting the ball or you know the barrel of bat on the ball and getting it into play. Like that's like he's so good at that.
Yeah, and I can't remember the last time the Rays actually had a decent catcher that could actually hit. I mean,
yeah,
Molina. No, Molina sucks. Sucre's he's meh. I mean, he's what 220 at best. So I think they need to. You know, sniff around the trade block, see what they can get for Ramos. But if nothing's there, just hold on to him and maybe sign him for another year or two.
I think like Ryan Hennigan and then maybe Deonor Navarro. Deonor Navarro had an all-star year the year we went to the World Series. So
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, and then
coincidence.
Then they went to, like, Toronto.
Ramos having an All Star year this year. Wait a minute, could be, you know, new star infielder. Jake Bowers just called up. Who are these guys? Definitely going to the World Series this year, man. It's happening.
What sucks about it too is we're in one of the worst. You know, we're in the worst spots because we're in the AL East because you have the Red Sox and the Yankees. If they were in another division, they'd be in the running for the wild card or maybe the division lead. It just stinks that we're in, like, the toughest division in baseball right now.
Yeah, we've been saying that for years, right? If we played in the AL Central, we make the playoffs every year. So, it is what it is. We play in the AL East. Our team's set up to beat AL East competition. So I don't know. It is what it is. That's a stupid thing to say, but whatever. Let's see. How about Ryan Stanek, man? Like, how about the job he's been doing, being sort of the opener, and how he's turned it around since early in the season? I thought, like, okay, originally it's like, okay, we're gonna bring him in, he's gonna throw 95 miles an hour, but probably give up like a couple of homers. But nowadays it's like, man, he's doing pretty solid.
Yeah, he had some control issues last year, and I was reading about him last year when this kid could hit the triple digits when it came to his fastball, but the thing that kind of hindered him the most was his control issue. So I was like, man, we got a wild thing on our team right now.
Oh, yeah,
so,
like that.
Whatever they did during the off season and in spring training to get his control under control, it's certainly worked. And I like the fact that they're doing this bullpen day. I think it's revolutionary. You can kind of say it's working out pretty well for this team, and having him as your number one guy in bullpen day, I like it. I mean, it's something that's going to throw a lot of hitters off. They haven't really seen a lot of this guy lately. So it's like, I've got a guy that's going to throw 98, 99, maybe 100 to me, and this is the leadoff pitcher. I mean, I like it. I like what they're doing. It kind of saves Cash's job for a little bit longer just to see what happens with the bullpen. I love the fact that the old school, old boy baseball writers you're pulling their hair out because of what
the
Rays are doing with their bullpen.
They hate it. Are you not a big fan of Kevin Cash?
I'm kind of in the middle with him because I think he gets a bad rap from a lot of Rays fans because I think they're still kind of, they miss Joe Maddon. But I think when all the moves they had to make by training all these guys and letting go of the old coaching staff, Maddon, he's actually now control of the team. Now it's his team, not Maddon's old team. So,
right.
I like Kevin Cash. I think he gets a lot of bad rap from a lot of Rays fans because they're still, Joe Maddon, he got us to a World Series. You know what? He moved on. He's not here anymore. So this is the manager that we have. So,
did you hear what Denard Span said on the way out? I mean, he had every opportunity to talk all kinds of shit about his experience in Tampa, but the one thing that he said is that was one of the best clubhouses he's ever been a part of. And there's something to that, okay? I think that has a lot to do with Kevin Cash and kind of the way he manages his players.
He's a great guy. I got to meet him a few times when we were doing press last year, and the guy loves to talk to whoever. He'll talk to you. He's not like a shy guy. He's not one of those managers that has a demeanor of get the F away from me. But I like what he's doing with his team. It is changing the culture. It's, the whole old guard of the Maddon is out of the way. He's now – it's the Kevin Cash culture now. Like, let's play Kevin Cash baseball. And
as it should be.
You know what? As it should be. And I think it's working. I think the Rays are just, one or two years off from really – getting back into the playoffs. I said last night on my show, they'll be over 500 at the end of the year. They'll be 85. They'll have 85 wins this year.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable to say, right? I mean, we're going to be up and down. So I think we're going to have these big win streaks like we just had, and then we're going to go on these like horrible runs, and where you think like, wow, are they ever going to win a game anymore? It's because you got such young guys on the team that they're going to go through these huge slumps, and they don't know how to break themselves out. We don't. I think maybe the one guy on throughout our lineup that can kind of is going to be there all year is the veteran. Is going to be Wilson Ramos. I think that's entirely reasonable. How about Jake Bowers,
what
dude?
What a surprise that Matt Duffy's been.
Oh, dude. I don't know.
I really thought he was never going to see the diamond ever again because of all of his injury issues. And this guy is batting over 300. I mean, he's really good at third base. I was like, man, I was so against that trade, and then hadn't played the position in like a year and a half, and he comes in, has taken, you know, taken the reins of third base. And I was like, okay, this kid's impressed me. I like Matt Duffy.
Guys,
I'm okay. I was talking to my buddy at the game on Sunday. I was like, Evan who? Yeah. Evan Longoria who?
Dude,
like,
Matt,
I don't think
Matt Duffy, as we know on the show, Matt Duffy is raking. Okay, so
yeah,
I don't know. I thought the same thing too. And even to start this year, like, he was hitting well to start the year, right? But like, you saw how like tiny he was, and he got injured early. Yeah. I think he had the hamstring issue again, and you're like, Jesus Christ, this is, I guess, you know, this is a story on the guy. But I remember Giants fans being very upset with him coming back here. And how did we got him for what trade did we get that in?
That was. Oh, what? I'm trying to think of what trade that
it
was.
It wasn't Drew Smiley. It was like, shit.
And no, I know it was for a pitcher.
It was for like a, and it was like very. Of course, it was very. Oh no, was it? No. I don't know. Anyways,
we keep taking their third basemen too. We got, you know, Christian Arroyo and the Evan Longoria trade. So Giants fans are like, man, they're taking two of our third base prospects, and we got this old Evan Longoria guy. It's like, come on, man, quit selling these guys off.
Now that's the other interesting thing, because you do have Christian Arroyo down there, who's another young guy, but you also have Matt Duffy. So it's like, what do you do? What do you do with those two guys?
Right, and I think Duffy was another name they were floating around that may be traded or may not be re-signed next year. So it's, what are they going to do with Matt Duffy? But honestly, I would say keep Duffy. I mean, let Arroyo come up when he's really – I mean, Arroyo's on the DL right now, I think, for what, 10 days?
Oh, yeah, I did see that. So you might be right. I mean, like, keep Arroyo down until there's like a – until the you know, cacophony builds of like, bring him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you do have a good point there.
the way Duffy's been hitting, why would you want to bring him up again?
Exactly. Yeah. But come on, dude, Jake Bowers. We gotta talk about. I've been trying to talk about Jake Bowers. Yeah. Something. Can we talk about Jake Bowers? Let's talk about Jake Bowers, okay?
Let's talk about the kid. The kid that will probably be the captain of the team in probably the next year or so.
I can see it.
When I heard that, you know, he was raking in AAA, and I was just waiting for him to get promoted up. When Adames got promoted, I was like, all right, time's a ticking. When's Bowers coming up? And then, you know, when they got rid of Denard Spahn and they were making moves, I was like, you know what? Bowers is coming up. And then as soon as I heard the whole DFA of Brad Miller, I'm like, yep, woo! Bowers is coming up.
Glass breaks, Bowers comes out.
So yeah, I him and Adames are the future of the team. I really like Bowers. You know, he looks like a professional. He doesn't look like a rookie that, you know, is making mistakes at first base. He's really, really looking at the ball well at the plate. He's looking like a professional. And, you know, they have, I think they timed it right for to bring him up. He's gonna be a beast coming, you know, in the future years. He's gonna be probably the leader of this team. You're gonna see a lot of people having Bowers jerseys probably the next couple of years with this kid.
I would not mind having a Jake Bowers jersey. Actually, at the very least, see, I'm a bobblehead guy now. I'm not going to wear another kid's name on my back, but I'll probably get like a bobblehead, something like that.
It was when he hit the walk off against the Yankees on Sunday. I was like, yeah, buddy. Yeah, let's go get drunk at Ferg's now.
New Evan. That's who he is.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying that. You know, this could be the Evan Longoria 2.0 of this team. But you know what? I would say squash that. He's Jake Bowers. He's not Evan Longoria 2.0. He is Jake Bowers, and this is the future of the team. This kid is great for the team.
I know.
We finally have a first baseman now.
I agree with you 100% on that, because for so many years with the Bucks, it's like any white guy that plays defense for them, they're like, next John Lynch, man, next John Lynch, or Levante David comes in like, hey, next Brooks, next Brooks. But you know what? No, it's not the next Evan, not the next whatever. He's Jake Bowers, and he's going to be his own man. He's not going to be out there before every game checking on the field and Dwayne Stats talking about him, or he's not going to open a restaurant in South Tampa. He's going to do his own little Jake Bowers thing.
Yeah, I totally agree with you that. Hopefully, I totally forgot that Duckies is no longer there anymore.
Really?
Yeah. At the Trop, I don't see the Duckies logo anymore because they put all that new stuff in the porch area and all the new food, you know, places they have in there. And I think Duckies is no longer there. They're like, you know,
Once
Evan's gone, those Duckies.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like Duckies is out of there. I think I forget who they replaced it with. I think it was Rumfish Grill or something. But I thought you meant like Duckies is gone out of South Tampa, and then I was gonna be like, wait.
Oh no. They're out of the stadium. You know what? They had terrible food anyways at the Trop, so I was like, yeah, I'm kind of glad it's gone.
Hey, you know what? I will say that I've had food at the Trop this year, and it's been very good. I think they have finally made an effort to improve their concessions because it's certainly a lot better than it has been in past years.
So that, you know what, that's a good segue because I wanted to talk to you about the whole stadium thing. So love the name Cigar City. I think that there should be a poll or some kind of ballot that we could put on Twitter or Facebook, like this should be the name of the new stadium if it actually happens. And I was talking to my co-host last night. I was like, here's a conspiracy theory I have. So the Tampa Orlando monorail is probably going to get built. Think about it. They're waiting for this thing to get built. You know, you're going to have easy access from Orlando and Tampa, bringing people over to Ybor and Channelside to watch games.
Right. I mean, so, you know for sure that there's going to be, with that location of the stadium being so close to not only Ybor City but to the Port of Tampa. You know there's going to be a major stop-off there if there is some kind of light rail from Tampa to Orlando. So that stadium spot is looking sweeter by the second. I don't know, man.
It's primetime central down there in Channelside. I mean, you're just a block over from, you know, Emily Arena and all that new stuff that, Vinick's trying to do to build back up Channelside. So put a new stadium for the Rays right in the same kind of vicinity. You have that light rail, you're going to bring in so much business from the East Coast over to Tampa from Orlando that, you know, driving, taking I-4 and that I-4 interchange, which is such a pain in the ass to either get on or get off.
It's like, dangerous.
Okay, hey, if I want to go see a Rays game tonight, I can just hop on the light rail and boom, I'm at Channelside in Ybor City.
Yeah, the thing is, I wonder if that thing's gonna run to St. Pete. It better.
I doubt it.
I need easy access to the stadium. I need to be able to get there. I think you're right. I think that light rail happens, but it's all contingent upon that Rays stadium. And then there's so much of Florida that they can draw on. They can draw on all that huge market that is Orlando, just be like, hey, you know, we're only a 45-minute train ride away, so come on over.
Exactly. The amount of business they'll get, too. What I really hope that if they do put the stadium in Tampa in that spot is, you know, the marketing team has got to get on it with corporate sponsorships. They have to have a presence in Tampa because right now, if you go over the Howard Franklin in the Tampa, all you see is Lightning and Bucks. You hardly see anything when it comes to the Rays, when it comes to banners, advertisements whatsoever. So, you know, if I was Stu Sternberg, you know, you need to get your marketing people over there and start getting corporate sponsorships, you know, if you're going to bring a new stadium in there.
I believe they've already started, but I call them the invisible baseball team because I live right next to the Trop, and you wouldn't know that they played baseball here until you saw the Trop. Like let's say I moved down to Beach Drive in St. Pete and I'm living there for a while and I kind of just stay in that area. I would never know there's a goddamn baseball team here until like, okay, you turn the corner on First Avenue and you're like, what the fuck? Is that a stadium? Like you never, like there's more Rowdies stuff around here than there is Rays.
I go to St. Pete and like you go further, you know, to the pier area where, you know, Beach Avenue is at and you just see Rowdies. I'm like, where, you have a major league baseball team 5 minutes away from everything. Why is there no banners? Why don't you have a statue of somebody out there? Why don't you have a Joe Maddon statue or an Ever Longoria statue saying, hey, there's a baseball team right down the road?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it.
Dude, have a 162 statue, Evan Longoria with his hands up in the air, going around first. Like, have that sitting somewhere out there. But no, they don't. I think, if you want my opinion, I think that's on purpose. I think that I don't think that the team – I think they're doing the best they can inside of the stadium. But when it comes to actually advertising, I think they're content to say, hey, you know what? Maybe we don't advertise. Maybe we just kind of hang out here, because it kind of serves to the narrative that Stu says, hey, baseball is clearly not working in St. Pete. We need to be moving to that channel side district, which, you know, I don't know. I think there's certainly been a lot that's come up around Tropicana Field in the last 10 years. But there's certainly a lot more to do. And it's and Ybor City is a lot more of a destination than right. Downtown St. Pete. I think it's at least locally it's known more as it's a big destination. And I love St. Pete. I think they should stay here. But I
personally love St. Pete more than I do going to Ybor City. To me, like, St. Pete, you know, it's breweries, it's bars that I love to hang out at. You got the pier down there. You've got all those restaurants. When you're in Ybor, Ybor is a shitty town. It's a shitty little strip. It's dangerous there. Like, the nightlife, when I used to go there, the club scene, like, you are, like, so afraid of bumping into each other, you're going to get stabbed. When it's nighttime on a Friday and Saturday, I'm not going anywhere near that. So, you know, hopefully the historical Ybor City area is going to be, okay, you know what? If we're going to have a major franchise here, we've got to clean stuff up here to make it more of an appeal for people to, you know, after the game is over, we're going to have people come out, go down to all the clubs and the bars and hang out after the game. So, you know, it sucks that you can't take all of the St. Pete nightlife, put it in Ybor, and then take Ybor and just kind of throw it into the ocean.
Do me a favor. One day, take an Uber or do what you got to do. Get up to Ybor City at 10 o'clock in the morning and spend the day there, and it's fucking fabulous. I love that daytime scene in Ybor City where you got the chickens running around. You go in and out of a couple bars. They got a lot of museums there. You got to kind of go check them out. It is outstanding. But I will agree with you. At night, it's fucking woo. Get to your bar. Get to it quick, baby. Let's go. Like, it is a shit show out there, man.
I can tell you, I haven't been down to Ybor at night in probably maybe 15, 20, maybe 10, 15 years.
You're doing yourself a disservice. Don't get out there at night. Go out there during the day. Get out there during the day, and it's fantastic. And I've been to it a few times, as far as, like, you know, WMNF used to hold their little music festivals there, and it's I do have a special love for Ybor City, especially because like you used to go out there with your friends at night, where it was like, hey, we're going to Ybor City. It was like a big deal. Like, holy shit, we're going to Ybor.
It was a big deal. You have all the great clubs down there. I mean, you know, I've been down there so many times when I was in my early 20s. Man, I sound old as fuck when I say my early 20s. I used to go down there a lot. It's like, you know what? When you say, hey, I'm going to go up to Ybor City tonight, people are like, oh, I want to come with you. And now it's like, oh, you want to get shot and stabbed? Yeah, I'm not coming with you. I'll go save Pete and send that.
I don't think it's that bad. I mean, it's changed a lot, certainly, since then. I mean, I don't know. I love it. But at the same time, St. Pete, I don't want to live in Tampa. I want to live in St. Pete, and I think I'd rather see him stay there. But to my original point, I think I would think that Ybor City is way more of a destination, because, again, Port of Tampa, Ybor City, you got Channelside, you got everything there. I really hope that works out.
I really do. Hopefully they start to break ground here probably the next 6 months. Maybe after the first of the year, and say, okay, this is really going to happen. You know, and hopefully Stu puts in more than $150 million of the Rays organizations and, you know, than what he said he's going to put in. So, and like I said, I think going back to that TV money, I think once that kicks in, it's like, you know what? Okay, we have $150. We're going to put in another maybe $200, $300 million for this stadium.
I hope so. It's going to be – this is going to be – the longest, most arduous process. Who knows? Get the GoFundMe account started, right? Let's get the GoFundMe started now.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. That was a vegan sports chick, Liz, last week. She was like doing the GoFundMe. Let's just start that now, okay? And then give them the money. Be like, here's your, you know, do you know they raised like $14 million to do a Star Wars remake? You mean to tell me that we can't at least raise $5 million towards a new stadium?
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, is this really true about the whole Star Wars thing? But you know what? If they did it, I totally agree. We should have one started right now and be like, look, everybody pitches in $5. You can get the money right then and there.
Yeah, right? Or at least a dollar. If we just had, hey, mandatory one day, you just get charged $1, everybody in the Tampa Bay area, then we could easily pay for half that stadium, if not more.
Be like Stu. We got this. All I want is a suite with my name on it. That's all I ask for.
Or do the thing where, like, there's bricks. Like, put the bricks in the stadium. Everybody's got a name on the bricks. You get to look at your name on the stadium. It's fun. Everybody has a great time.
Nah, fuck that. I want a suite, and then I want one of the comfy chairs behind home plate so I can sit next to the heckle guy.
I want my chair to be behind the pitcher's mound. Let's go. Just put me in a bubble. You know, it'll be fun. It'll be like the new catwalks. All right, man. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me on again.
Especially because I have no other co-host tonight, so it's just me freewheeling it. So, thanks for coming to break up some of the monotony of me talking to myself.
No worries, man. Anytime.
All right, guys. You can check out his podcast at the Sports Arena, right? Like at Sports Arena on Twitter.
Yeah, so every Wednesday night on Spreaker.com, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You could also go to the website www.thesportsarena1.com and then follow us on Twitter at thesportsarena2. You can follow me on Twitter at lbushman07 and then Facebook and all that other social media junk. But yeah, every Wednesday, 8 p.m., Spreaker.com.
All right. Thanks for coming on the show, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
All right. So that was Word of the Bay. We'll see you next week. If you want some bold predictions, you can go fuck yourself. Or Nikita Kucherov signs some kind of long-term deal. Danny Hanchevarria does a thing, and finally Jake Bauer's walk-off home run against the Astros. I have been Kyle. That has been Word of the Bay. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/Word of the Bay, and I love you guys. Peace.